In 1900, Whitley was almost a feudal society. It was entirely owned by the second Earl of Dudley, except for part of Abbey Hall estate. The Earl was rarely at the court. He was Lord Lieutenant of Ireland and Governor General of Australia. He lived in Latuke with his mistress, Gertie Miller. In 1914, a ball was held at the court to celebrate his return. The Honourable Eden, estate manager, looked after the land. The rector and his wife were in charge of the villagers. They were the eyes and the ears. The Earl selected the rectors, usually friends. Horace Munro, a Newfoundlander, met the Earl in Ireland, rector from 1905 to 1910. From 1910 to 1945, Canon Roland Wilson was rector. He had a wife and four children. They had family links with this area. Christopher Wilson remembered playing with the young Dudleys. Lady Dudley gave regular children's parties, or sometimes just had a few to tea. These would generally be Molly and Bill McGough. Christopher shared their governess from Hillampton House. Betty and Wyndham, Bloggs Baldwin from Astley Hall, Mary and Bob Lee from Dunley Hall. The youngest of the three ward girls, Patsy, was about his age. His most memorable recollection of Lady Dudley is her dramatic entry into church, dressed from head to foot in creamy white, with ropes of pearls round her neck. She was kindly but rather alarming. On one occasion, we were playing hide-and-seek. Some of us were on the roof, which was out of bounds. Lady D saw us and Patsy said, "Look out, she will rise." So we kept out of her way. Lady Morpeth, in 1912, a very attractive teenager, was master of the scout troop. They were known as Lady Morpeth's Own. There were numerous activities for the villagers at the court. Cricket, the rector was captain, golf, hunting, the kennels were in the park, shooting, tennis and skating on the pools in winter. The Wilsons lived in the old rectory, which had a beautiful garden. They kept a cow, pigs, chickens and a pony and farmed the glebe land. The children did not go to the village school. They often shared a governess with other wealthy families until they went to boarding school. The rector was also in charge of the school. The new school was built opposite the old one in 1 acre, 2 roods of ground in a very attractive setting. Conifers and trees were planted round it with plenty of room to play. A footpath led directly to the rectory. The school had a long room divided in two by a wooden partition, an infant's room and a porch. It was large enough for 156 children. It was heated by 4 open fires. The bell tower was moved to the new school. At the back was a yard and a row of closets, a type of open drain pipe with holes each in a cubicle. Water could be pumped into a tank, a tap turned on, and they all flushed together, in theory. On September the 23rd, 1895, prayers and a special opening service was held by the rector. In 1896, a new subject was introduced for the older boys, cottage gardening, in a plot behind the school. Mr. Young, head gardener at Whitney Court, supervised the teaching. The Reverend Maynard Smith, curate, presented the prizes to those who had been successful with their flower gardens. Gardening was an important occupation. In 1901, there were 18 gardeners, 12 farmers and 26 agricultural labourers in the village. A portable stage in the main room was erected by the estate carpenters when needed. February 1897, the school was closed for concert and entertainment. On March the 1st, the school closed for a sale of work. Plants and seeds for the garden were supplied by Mr. Young and the rector. Mr. Young gave a demonstration of deep digging or bastard trenching to the boys from 3 to 4pm. The 14 gardens are now allotted, each plot being 26 by 12 feet. The boys' gardens were nearly ruined by Mr. Proudman's sheep breaking into the school meadow. He farmed Hill House and Red Marley. Apple trees were planted. Rabbits were another pest, eating all the cabbages and lettuce. They grew 30 pounds of tomatoes from six plants. 1901 to 1932, Mr. William Henry Moore was the new headmaster, Miss Ellen Bedard, infant's mistress and sewing. Her father was engineer and chief of the fire brigade. The boys grew onions, carrots, peas, beans and potatoes and learned to prune. In September, after 7.5 weeks holiday, many are still away hop picking at Warsgrove Farm, which had the last hop field. 1906, the school will be known as Great Whitley Church of England School, official number 88. Whooping cough. School was closed for a week. This often happened with contagious diseases, measles, etc. The gardening class visited Whitley Court Nursery Gardens. Mr. Young gave a lesson on the principles of grafting and how to make a crown and whip graft with wood to practice on. They saw how crops were planted to secure succession. In the wilderness and conservatory, he pointed out monkey puzzle from Chile, Douglas fir from South California, scene of the recent earthquake, California redwood, palms from the South Sea Islands, Japanese primrose trees, and ferns from New Zealand, and date palm from the Levant. On the 21st, the school was closed for a parochial concert. Mr. Moore was a well-respected headmaster. He ran the church choir and was secretary of the bowling club. The green was at the 100th house. He also ran the scouts with Lady Morvith. Lady Dudley and Mrs. Wilson were very keen on concerts and that their children were expected to join in, as it was good training for them. They sang, acted and did tableau. There was always a Christmas concert with presents and parties for the village children. Lord Ednam's shooting team started at the 100th house and is one of the oldest clubs in the country and still going strong. The old school had become the village institute. It was leased to the men's club. This was an important club and friendly society. There was an annual club day. The school was closed and the members and the children went to church and then had a meal either at the court or the 100th house, followed by games. Lady Dudley took a great interest in the church. She presented the silver sanctuary lamps in thanks for the Earl's safe return from the Boer War. She designed the garden of remembrance behind the chapel, now the Scout Hut. The second grave was her own as she drowned in Ireland, probably due to a heart attack. 1911, February the 16th, a photographer visited the school. He arranged the pupils in families. 1914, Gustav Hummel flew the first aeroplane in Whitley with Lady Dudley as passenger, soon after he crashed and died in the Channel. In September, the school sent to the office of Major Reddy in Silver Street, Worcester, six flannel shirts and four pairs of woollen socks made by the older girl for soldiers on active service. In 1918, there were 58 pupils, but the attendance was poor. Five boys working on farms due to their father's military duties. On September the 20th, the school closed on this and the following three afternoons under the blackberry picking scheme. When the fruit was weighed, we had picked 100 weight, 2 quarters, and 9.5 pounds, approximately 110 pounds per scholar. The large amount of fruit shows the state of the hedgerows and the uncultivated ground. After World War I, a memorial board was placed in the school. It had the names of the 8 ex-pupils who had been killed. Thomas Hanson Averill, Thomas Butler, Henry Edwards, Walter Edwards, Sidney Norton, John Rogers, William Henry Morgan and George Stone. After the First World War, income tax and death duties were a disaster for large estates. Whitley Court and the entire estate was put up for sale by Norbury Smith in Worcester on the 27th and the 28th of September 1920 in 192 lots. The Dudleys moved to Himley Hall. Sir Herbert Smith bought the court and 600 acres of parkland. He was owner of carpet trades in Kidderminster a self-made man who had a flair for design and colour. He also liked to drink. Sir Herbert Smith was very keep out. He closed all the paths leading through the park, so was not popular with the villagers. My parents, who were hikers, met him once when walking over his land. They explained what they were doing and he allowed them to continue. Little did they realise they would one day live in the village post office. The sale made many changes in the village. Some villagers bought farms and houses, including the Owen brothers, sons of Philip Owen of Nurton's Farm, Aberley, who started his horse bus service in 1878. During the war, he got his first motor bus. In 1919, he had a double-decker. The business continued to grow, and by 1937, they had over 30. These buses allowed villagers to work in towns, in shops, offices and carpet factories, as they could get to work and back in one day, and they had more choice and could earn more money. Harold Owen bought Church Farm, Little Whitley, and still farmed by the family. About this time, cars appeared. The first belonged to Sir Herbert Smith and Dr. Dykes. There was a toll house where the Bromyard Road joins the Worcester Road. It was knocked down in 1926. The last inhabitants were Jack and Leah Taylor and John. He was electrician for Aberley Hall, which they generated, as electricity did not go beyond the 100 house until the 50s. The Taylors lived in the house next to the shop. This was up a flight of steps and was once a bakery. The last tenants were the Pyatt family. Wilfred and Howard Owen and daughter Hazel lived in the two estate houses with carved barge boards. Next were two cottages, Hayward's and Fox's. The Hundred House, named after Doddingtree Hundred, a Saxon county. This was at the centre of village life. It was rebuilt in 1790 and was a coaching inn, the first stop between Worcester and Wales. On the right-hand side, sighted the car park, were stables for 24 horses, a coach house, harness room and pigsty. The next field was for cattle sales, and the fields behind for the horses and hay, in all 86 acres. The magistrate's court, with cells underneath, was held there on the last Thursday of the month until 1841, when a new magistrate's court and police station was built at Red Marley. Strong horses were needed to help pull the coaches up the Aberley Road. In 1768, in an advert, Hundred House at Stud, an extraordinary black carting stallion, bred by the famous Mr. Bakewell of Leicestershire. In 1843-47, Mr. Bunce of the Hundred House overcharged many visitors who came to see Queen Adelaide. He hired out horses and carriages. Rent days were held twice a year. Rent for the average cottage was 2 shillings and 6 pence a week. Each person paying rent was entitled to a meal of cold meat and 2 bottles of beer, to be eaten there or taken home. In 1855, Arthur John, farmer, maltster, hop merchant, licensed to hire flies, phaetons and post horses. He was followed by the Austin family. 1867, Great Whitney Flower Show. It was held in the field behind the Hundred House. In 1895, it was the Whitley and District Farmers Club, and by 1889 it had become an annual fair day and school holiday. They held ploughing, hedging and rickmaking matches. After a short time it was combined with the Rock and Forest Show. Odd Fellows Friendly Society met each Shrove Tuesday and they held an annual fair. After marching to church, they returned to the Hundred House for refreshments and then various sports, including six-a-side football. Before the sale, it was run by the Austin family. Billy Austin had fought in the Boer War. His housekeeper was Mrs. Bridges. She was widowed in the First War. Dolly never saw her father. After the sale, it was bought by Giles. There was a back bar for workers. People had their own seats, and it was run by Harvey Fox. Ginger Smallman was very regular. He was the last person to live at the Pleck, a small cottage halfway up the Abbey Hill behind Mrs. Hildick Smith's house. Their water came from one of the springs, as does the old rectory's today. They also collected the thrift club money. Mr. Field died when he fell into a trench nearby. Mary Ricketts found him in the 1950s. The hotel was run by Mrs. Paris and her daughter Elsie. In the 40s, the lounge bar furniture was green Lloyd loom. There was a council weighbridge to the left. The North Ledbury Hunt met outside. It was always very busy and popular. The bowling club had their own chalet next to the green, which is now built over by the extensions. During the Second World War, it was lived in by Mrs. Reiniger, an Austrian Jewess. Later, Mr. and Miss Poets lived in it after she burnt their house down. It must have been a very tight squeeze. There were children's Christmas parties and lots of dances. The first post office was opened by 1855. Anne Hooper was postmistress and shopkeeper. The post arrived at 9:15 and left at 4 p.m. From 1870 to 1910, the Moore family ran the post office. Mrs. Selina Moore, born in Lambton, was referred to in the school log as a troublesome mother. Her daughters, Emma and Ada, later worked there as clerks. In 1910, Mr. and Mrs. Alfred Prattley took over the post office. It was a telegraph office, and Mrs. Prattley had to learn the Morse code to record them. They were mainly for Whitney Court. Len Glazard was employed to deliver them. He became a postman and retired in 1962. The post office gave him £100, as he had no pension. He lived in the Whitney Court Weybridge on the Chestnut Drive. In 1912, the first telephone was installed. Lady Dudley often sat in Mrs. Prattley's dining room to wait for calls to come through. In 1924, a telephone exchange was installed. There were 90 telephones in Great Whitley and Abberley, plus 5 lines to Kidderminster and 4 to Worcester until 1949. Mr. Prattley liked to swear at people who phoned after 10 o'clock, unless it was an emergency. Mr. Prattley tried to develop a sand pit on his land for building the Elan Valley pipeline, but the sand was hard rock. Later Fernview had bad subsidence. In 1920, Whitney Courtney's estate was sold. Mr. Prattley bought the post office. He arranged with Arthur Moore to buy 43 Worcester Road, the Laurels, previously Goodwin's, tailors to the court where they made all the livery, and the triangle and land, now the highways, for Billy Austin. Arthur Moore ran the Team Valley Motors. After Whitney Court's sale in 1920, he paid £600 for the house next to the post office and opened the central garage in 1924. He bought AJS engines and built his own buses, and he continued to build them until the 1950s. They were called gliders. On January the 12th, 1921, Arthur Moore of Team Valley Motors kindly and gratuitously took teachers and pupils to a matinee of Red Riding Hood at the Theatre Royal Worcester, and he repeated this until 1930. Billy Austin built the highways, now a building site, where he lived with Mrs. Bridges, Dolly and Mr. Fullard. At the top of the site they ran a cafe built of wood. It went when the road was widened. They catered for fishermen's breakfasts and school Christmas parties up to the Second War. In 1928, Martley Rural District Council built houses 1 to 8 on the Starport Road. Number 1 was occupied by Sam Hill, later his daughter Betty, Mr. and Mrs. Ricketts, who bought the house. Their daughters Mary Cox and Sue Farrelly, now her son Peter and his family lived there. Number 2 was first lived in by Walter Hardrick and his sister, Auntie Shook. Number 5, Mr. and Mrs. and Miss Poick. He was in the Cork Fire Brigade. Although not popular, Sir Herbert Smith sent toys, oranges, coconuts, etc. to the school children for Christmas. Mr. Ashton, the head of Abbey Hall, sent sixpence for each child. On September the 7th, 1937, Whitney Court caught fire. One wing was badly damaged. No one knew there was a huge supply of water under the conservatory, so time was wasted getting water from the lake. Lord Dudley had his own fire brigade. Sir Herbert Smith bought all his land with Jackson Stops. Home and Worsgrove Farms were bought by Mrs. Lees, sister of Amy Goodwin of Rampton House, of the Payerthorpe sausage family. Mr. Barrington bought the gardens and the houses. The Red House sold for £800, Starport Lodge for £450, and the Worcester Lodge for £500. It was very hard to sell the court, and it was finally bought by Mr. W. Collington and Son, demolition contractors. In 1953, the site was zoned by Wigginton family and run by the Department of the Environment. 16th of December, the school closed in the afternoon for a leaving presentation to Mr. Wall. Mr. Wall had served the village well as clerk to the parish council, secretary to the bowls club and choirmaster. He had completed nearly 31 years as headmaster. Since his wife's death, he had been looked after by Nurse Tilly. The small bungalow opposite the schoolhouse was built for his retirement by the parochial church council from the sale of Lynyrd, a small cottage left to the church at Heath Farm, now rebuilt. January the 12th, 1938, school tea at the Highways. Miss Violet Winnell was a new infants teacher. She lived at Chelsea Beach near the river and cycled every day until 1946. The school adopted the milk in school schemes. This was delivered to the school in a churn left by the gate. There was only a footpath to the school. Older boys carried it into the big room. The children wanting milk took their own cup, and milk was measured out with a third of a pint measure. If the weather was cold, this was done early and the cups were placed by the fire to warm. They also had a thick coating of ash. Fires were made up by older boys whose job it was to chop the wood and get the coal in. On August the 1st, 49 pupils on the roll. Evacuation plans. 60 children were expected from Dudley Road Junior School, Birmingham. On September the 1st, only 27 boys and girls arrived, accompanied by 8 teachers. On September the 3rd, 1939, war was declared and the school closed. On the 7th, it reopened. September the 11th, the officially evacuated children came, plus those who were privately evacuated. Altogether, 90 children on the roll. 2 uncertificated teachers from Birmingham joined the staff. One of the first things the children did was go for a scramble up the hill track, Red Marley Hill Climb, with their teachers. On the 29th of September, the Lord and Lady Mayoress of Birmingham visited the school. The master was told he would receive an air raid warning by telephone message. The school bell was only to be used as a warning. It has never been used since. At some time, a deep ditch was dug under an overhanging hawthorn hedge, which separated the school from the three-cornered meadow, and this became the air raid shelter. 1940, Whits and holidays are cancelled by the government. On the 18th of August, evacuees, permission for children to be absent during field work is withdrawn. During the war, older boys and girls had been allowed to help with land work, i.e. potato picking, planting and pea picking. On September the 9th, Mr. Ford wrote, "This has been a most unusual 12 months, but I would like to place on record the fact that as far as we are concerned, evacuation has been a very happy affair, and at no time has there been any disagreement between our guests and ourselves. Bombing is now a nightly affair, and this naturally has had its effect on the children in the school." That December, there were 93 on the roll. Many children again had permission to work on the land. December, the Christmas party was held in the school. In 1942, in March, there were 25 on the roll. 18 inches of snow. The number of evacuees dropped to about 5. Whitley became a two-teacher school with 60 children on the roll. In August, older children again worked on the land when needed, pea picking at Park Farm and potato picking at Elanton Farm. In October, 44 children were on the roll, 5 from Birmingham and 2 from West Ham. 1943, in January, due to the coal and fuel shortages, lunch break cut to half an hour. In July, an old boy, Sam Hill, returned home yesterday, having escaped from a prisoner of war camp in Italy. Another old boy, Albert Cook, lost his life. In September, the school picked over 250 pounds of blackberries for the village jam-making centre in the Village Institute, which so far has made 1,000 pounds of jam. On the 30th of October, our fuel ration has been cut by a third. One fire lit in the big room this week. Many of the older children again had permission to work on the land. In December, the children's Christmas party was held at the school. In 1944, 24th of March, past fortnight has been book week. We collected over 2,000 books for the troops to read or for salvage. Through the Women's Voluntary Service, a gift of Wellingtons was received from the USA. 37 pairs were distributed to those who walked more than 1 mile to school. 3 coupons were given up for each pair. Crockery and cutlery arrived for school dinners. The 12th of June, school dinners served for the first time. 30 out of 32 children partook of a school 2-course hot dinner at 5 pence per head. The village had a home guard platoon. They were intended to create roadblocks in case of invasion and stop suspicious characters. The clock tower made a good lookout point. The home guard was under the command of Mr. Ashton, head of Abney School. The chief air raid warden, Mr. Carr, was a master at Abbey Hall. The war savings movement reached £8,000 and Wings for Victory realised £9,694, a fantastic effort. The end of the war was celebrated with a bonfire built by the Scouts leader Philip King on top of Abbey Hill by the Trig Point. A tea party and dance took place in the Institute and the school.